Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
Well, hello, hello, and happy spring. I'd like to welcome you to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I'm your host, Tanya Parker. And before we get going, I'd like to stop and thank Gaye Adegbolola, who brought us in with Hungry Woman Blues, which always makes me smile. And you know that we have the cure for Hungry Woman and Hungry Man Blues, too, sometimes. On this show, we're on second Sundays at 6. We dish up divinely delicious consciousness-raising creations to feed your mind, body, and soul. Before we get into tonight's truly juicy show, I will share with you a little bit about myself. I help facilitate expression of one's highest self through divinely inspired and assisted holistic healing, teaching, and writing services. Now, my holistic table has served up a lot of sacred offerings over the past few decades, from counseling to coaching, cooking to community capacity building, meditation to massaging, Reiki to writing. And one of my favorite creations is Mind, Body, and Soul Food. This is my baby here. It has provided an opportunity each month to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information, all the while as we give voice to the vision of some truly gifted holistic healers and light workers. We are almost 7 years old, and July will have that big anniversary, and I'm feeling it is a lucky seven this year. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of the listeners who have supported the show over the past almost 7 years. And thank you to those who tuned in last month. We had Reverend Dr. Craig Wright on to give us our spring numerology forecast. And if you missed that show or any others, you can always go to the Blog Talk site and check them out on demand. So tonight we're in for a triple delight. Well, first, let me share that back in the late 90s, I had the pleasure of reading Anita Diamant's novel, The Red Tent. And it struck a chord in women worldwide, including myself. And if you haven't read it, just know that it retells the biblical story of the rape of Dinah, found in Genesis 34, and it's told from her perspective. Now, in the book, Dinah and the other women of that time period came alive for the reader, as did the menstrual hut, aka the red tent, where women congregated to menstruate and give birth. So this concept sparked such interest in today's modern woman that it has led to the creation of red tents in various communities around the globe. Now, today's red tent is a sacred space where women gather to honor all stages of womanhood, from menses to menopause, and we have on tonight three amazing healers who, as part of Trinity Womb Keepers, offer red tent events for women. How cool is that? And we get to hear from them as they share healing from the red tent. So let's give a warm mind, body, and soul food welcome to Kinyofu, Emlemwingu, Mama Moose, and Regina Conceição. Uh-oh, did I say that correctly?
You said it perfectly.
Oh, yay! Welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I know Kinyofu and I know Moot. I haven't met you yet, or I'm just meeting you, Regina, but I would love for our listeners to find out more about you. So please share who you are and what do you serve at your healing table?
Thank you so much for having me. I'd like to start off with my name is Regina Maria de Conceição, and I am 40 years amazing, I like to say. I started this work, I'd like to say, when I was about 13, 14. My mom used to send me, my aunt was pregnant, and she used to send me over towards the end of her pregnancy to help her clean, you know, wash dishes, put clothes on the line and things like that. And because my aunt was very, very pregnant and very swollen, so she couldn't, like, bend and, you know, and clean the tub. So I'd like to say that I started doing postpartum doula work when I was about 13, but didn't realize that that's what it was. I just knew that that's just what we do. My family, I was born in the U.S., but my parents, my whole family is from the Cape Verde Islands. And so women, when, you know, they're pregnant and when they have their babies, they're never alone. They're always supported by mothers and sisters and aunties and elders. And so naturally, you know, my mom really instilled that in me as a, you know, as a young child. And then pretty much I just had a love for reproductive health, and, you know, came across the career of being a doula, and also very passionate about midwifery. I am a midwifery student. And I do postpartum work and lactation counseling, a whole bunch of stuff. So I do believe that I provide safe and sacred spaces that ignite breakthroughs, transformation, and new beginnings. And I think that the red tent is one of those sacred spaces that I'm able to provide that type of environment for women to come and get support and learn about their bodies. Because truth be told, you know, we're far removed from our village. And so I feel like the red tent is like bringing the village back. Because, you know, our families usually, we don't live close to our, you know, our mothers, our aunts, our sisters. And so, you know, it's kind of recreating that village.
Right.
It's amazing. I met Mama Moot, I want to say 5 years ago. And then Kinyofu I met maybe about 3 years ago. And we finally came together last year. And we basically gave birth to the Trinity Womb Keepers, Red Tent Circle.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Regina. It is such a pleasure to meet you and to hear more about you and this work that you've been doing for decades.
My name is Kinyofu. My name is Kinyofu Nyingo. Hey. And I have many hats. So I've had, my role is birth advocate, parent educator, writer, speaker, teacher, coach, womb workshop facilitator, and red tent curator. I have, my story began actually when I was carrying my son 27 years ago I was carrying him. He was birthed 26 years ago. And I was introduced to birth via midwife, and I went on to have him at a birth center, and my daughter was followed at home. And both were very lovely experiences, and I knew that that's how birth should be done. So I went ahead and just started talking to women and eventually got trained in each of the categories that I shared with the purpose of enlightening and trying to understand what makes a woman make the decision she makes. And what I've come to find out is that the information is that we have to share with each other is not very enlightening at all. A lot of stories are negative, non-affirming. And I wanted to do something to change that. And I also get that we have a lot of stress in our lives, which contributes to the decisions we make. And I could share a little bit more about that later. But I am here to serve enlightenment, encouragement, and non-judgmental conversation, listening. I should say non-judgmental listening and love.
Beautiful. Thank you, King Yofu.
You're welcome.
We can hear you.
Greetings. My name is Moot Ra'at. It means creative mother. I am 6 years young. I am a mother of 4 adult children and a grandmother of 5. My journey of mothering, which is I feel that I was born to do, started long time ago when I was very young. I remember at 7 years old nurturing my sick mother. My mother passed at 32 when I was 7 with 6 children. And I'm just now getting clear as to what her condition was about, because she died of kidney disease. And recently this name came about through one of my clients and dear friend, Danette Beam. I was her postpartum doula. And she was suffering from the same thing that my mother was suffering from back in the early 60s, which is called postnatal depletion. And that's when a woman gives birth and her main organs are already weak. And with the child, the fetus pulling on those organs for nurturing and for development, the mother is left depleted. And a lot of time very sick. So it takes them longer to bounce back after giving birth, much longer than a healthy mom that would normally go through. So my journey started a long time ago. And then after my mother died, my grandmother and her 2 sisters came together to raise my mother's, my siblings and myself. And they did everything together. These women were like warriors. They lived in 2 buildings close together, and they went shopping, and they did the meal plannings and everything that we needed. When one wasn't home, somebody else was home. So, this journey of nurturing and sisterhood was very clear to me. And the more, after I retired from banking after 25 years, I took a long look within myself to see what I wanted to do next and what did I enjoy doing. And I enjoy nurturing. I love taking care of others and learning, because I had to learn how to take care of me. And self-care is very big for me. I love taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. So I decided to look into being a doula. And after being trained as a doula and helping women with birth, I also went back and reviewed that the time that it takes for a mother to give birth is a lot of time. You can't estimate when the baby's coming. So that process can take anywhere from 1 to 3 days. So then I went back inside, and I was like, okay, I'll leave the birthing up to the young people, and I'll do postpartum care, aftercare. So I became a postpartum doula specialist. I love watching the mother, after giving birth, come back to life again. I love serving her and teaching her how to take care of herself and encouraging her to take the time that she needs to take care of herself and be served, and watching her get her strength back, watching her get her power back. So I love what I do. My work, my job is very rewarding. I've come to mothers when they feel like they've been hit by a truck after giving birth, and I leave with the whole family nice and strong, and the babies are from birth to calling my name. So, my job is very fulfilling. And after raising my children, I raised my children practically by myself. And I enjoyed every minute of it. We did everything together, to the point where in my neighborhood of over 30 years, people in the neighborhood would walk up to me and said to me, "You finally walk in the streets by yourself." You'd be surprised how many people watch you. And they remember me watching, carrying 1 baby in the stroller, 2 on the side, and 1 on my strap to me. So you know, the whole journey of nurturing is what I've been doing all my life, and I enjoy doing that. And now to watch the offspring of the nurturing that I poured out come back around, and the children are bringing their children, and the whole community is feeling supported, that brings me much joy. So my name is Moot. It means mothering, and that's what I do.
Wonderful. You know, as I sit here, as I sat here and I listened to each of you speak and the enthusiasm that you have and the love that you pour forth into your work, you know, I never birthed a child, but if I had, it would have been truly a delight to have any of you to help take me, carry me, lift me up, support me through that process. I know you all are true blessings to families that you've served. Wow, I am in awe. And on their behalf, I just say thank you. Thank you for your service. Now, I didn't say before, but if there's anyone, any listener who would like to call in with questions, the number is 917-889-7806. Again, that's 917-889-7806. Please make sure that you press 1, and that is to let me know that you would like to speak with the Trinity Womb Keepers, Kinyofu, Mama Moot, and Regina. All right. So, ladies, why do you think that there's been such a surge in interest in Red Tent events and other women's circles?
I'd like to answer that, if that's okay.
Sure.
So, yeah, so there's been the actress Regina Hall, who happens to be my namesake. She was on Conan O'Brien, I believe last year, and she was talking about using yoni eggs. And so yoni eggs are the use of crystal eggs to promote pelvic floor strengthening, to help with menstrual cycles, regulating them, also with regulating them with the pains of the menstrual cycle. Also, they help with uterine fibroids. And so there's this, you know, a lot of women are now finding about these yoni eggs. And, of course, with social media is big with young adults. And so Instagram, you know, there's a bunch of Instagram pages on yoni eggs, on womb restoration. And so more and more women are having access to information, and they're like, what is this stuff? Like, what is this yoni egg? And like, what? You do what? You put it where? And what is it supposed to do? And it's supposed to, you're supposed to charge the crystal. And when you charge it, it's supposed to like give you power and strength. And, you know, it helps you eliminate toxins. And so it's just this curiosity has come out. And so now, you know, women want to really, more women are taking more ownership of their health and not just seeing it as like, oh, you know, I have premenstrual syndrome and I'm just going to go into a fetal position when I'm on my period and just take some, you know, some Advil or all those other Advil, Tylenol, whatever, you know, and just basically take that medication until it's done. And now more and more women are like, wait a minute, like, so I don't really have to see my period as something being so bad. And I think that, you know, when you grow up, like, especially for me, it was just like, you know, you get your period and basically, you know, you discard of your sanitary napkins properly, you know what I mean? And that was it. There was no talk of, you know, this is your womanhood, and how your womb, we create through our womb. And like, for me, I only saw creating in the womb as creating like physical life. And I've never been pregnant, never had children. I do look forward to it, but I saw it as,
you know, well, you could only create life in the womb. I never knew that you create ideas from the womb. And you create ideas and you nurture them and you manifest them. And it wasn't until, you know, I came, when I came across Mama Moose and Kinyofu, I actually went to one of Kinyofu's workshops. And I'll never forget, she had us all in a circle. And she basically asked us to think of words that describe your period. Any good, bad, you know, adjectives. And we went around in circles and people were, you know, women would shout out dirty, a mess, inconvenient, you know, just different words. And we kept on going around in circles and circles until finally there was no other word. Like, there was no more words to describe it. And it was really interesting to hear everyone's words because everyone had, like, a different perspective of their period. And I'm sorry, I think I'm kind of going on a tangent, but I do feel that, you know, the Red 10, with the social media, and then with the book, you know, more and more women want to know about, like, what's that about? Like, what's this sacred space about? And we're all coming together and, you know, just having you time, you know what I mean? And I know for me, I'm a nurturer by nature. It's my sign. But I, and being a doula, you know, you nurture, but my issue is not nurturing myself enough. And so the beauty of having wonderful women in my life is that I have a Mama Moo who calls me out all the time, like, Regina, you're doing too much. Like, you know what I mean? And so that's really important, really important.
And, Regina, you say that you're going off on a tangent, but that's the thing, you're not, because our issues, our stories are so intertwined and so large that anything that you say, anything that you speak about that a woman has any interaction with is a woman's story, and it's going to come up. So if you're talking about, you know, a tangent of washing the dishes, well, that's a woman's story, a tangent of having to go to work or, you know, figure out what's wrong with the car. Those are all women's stories because they are part of our experience. And we superimpose our training into each and every one of our experiences. I think why it's so important, why women are catching or wanting more, is because when they hear, it's like an affirmation, and it's okay to maybe fumble with the car because you don't have information. That's it. You don't have the information. So if you had information, then you'd be more excited. And that's the same way with our bodies. So we were not told about our bodies, and there's a big gap of what our body parts are called, and is it a curse word to say the actual body part, and what the taboos are that's connected to it. So it feels to me like there's a portal that's open when you begin to learn something. A portal opens and you want to learn more, and you feel like, oh my gosh. And just like a little child, when you give them a toy, they're on it to figure it out, to work it out. And then they learn it, and they got it. So they're so happy. We are happy in the same way. And the other thing I want to say is, I mentioned before, we have stressful lives, some more than others. And it's that stress that causes us to react in certain ways that's not necessarily healthy. Usually it's not healthy. We eat. We overeat. Mm-hmm. Right. We oversex, we undersleep, whatever it is we do, it's not to our benefit. And what we get from these conversations is how to change the way that we are around our stress situations. We might not be able to change the stress, but we can change how we react to the stress. And I call that resilience. And so we as women, we get to learn how to be more resilient so that we can pass that resilience on to our children. And I'd introduce myself briefly as a teacher. I'm a substitute teacher, and what I found is that children act out in many different ways, and they're acting out the experiences, the stress that they have in their homes. And when women, their parents, can show that they know how to be resilient, and they're showing the child how to do so also, and that's important, because then we'll be able to create a bigger balance so the women are healed and the children are healed.
It's cycle breaking.
Yes, I would like to add to that, too. I feel that it's a universal call from women for more support. You know, women have so much on their plate and so many hats to run, and it's not fun doing it by yourself. So women are really opening up and asking for help and calling forth these circles to happen, calling forth more knowledge about self-care, more knowledge about connecting with their sisters and being in sisterhood. You know, and I'm so glad about it. I'm so glad about it. It feels so good. Even when I met Kenyofo and Regina, and we all talking about the same thing. If we can only get women to work to nurture themselves every month on their moon time, it'll be so easy giving birth. And with that conversation, we all came together to create this to happen. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. So I imagine you all dispel many myths that women buy into about the different stages of their development. And yes, as you were saying, Regina, how Kenyofu had you all to talk about the different descriptors for your cycle and whatnot. And, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking back to when and, you know, I'll say this because, look, my mother isn't on the line. Often my mother will call into the show. But, you know, I am still waiting for that book that my mother was going to order me. When I went to her at age 12 and said, Mom, what, you know, I'm supposed to find out about my period, you know, and she says, oh, I ordered you a book. Well, I'm still waiting at age 51 for this book.
Uh-oh.
And so
we have books for you.
You know, years later, these books, and it was a male cousin who actually told me about my cycle and what to expect based on his point of view. Yes, an older teenage cousin. And so thank you very much, Milton, Reverend Milton now. And I remember having to leave school every single month in pain, taking prescription medication because I was in so much pain, going home and putting on hot packs, and my mother having, you know, not being able to be there because she worked, but just different family members never knowing which one was going to show up to pick me up, you know, if I was going to bleed through and be embarrassed. It was just so much shame and pain associated with my cycle at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I love this concept of having these red tents where you can have these sacred conversations and just totally reshift women's perspectives of their body and these sacred events that happen within them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that one of the things that I learned in one of the many red tents that I attended is that what I didn't know is that when women, and some women are, when they're on their period, that's when they're the most creative. And it's like, that's when they're, you know, they go within because it's just, I guess the body just naturally saying, this is me time. This is me time. I'm releasing, but I'm going to release what I need to release, but I'm also going to create, you know, and I'm going to write. You know, I'm going to create poetry. I'm going to create music. I'm going to create projects, you know, and I didn't know that. Like, you know, some women really do get, like, really, really go within. And so that was really interesting to learn, you know, and just, like, actually being excited. Like, I never was excited about my period. Like, I didn't get excited to have my period until like a year and a half ago, honestly, when I started experiencing my cycles changing. And that's just for multiple reasons, because of a side effect from an IUD that I had that I wasn't supposed to have. You know, I wasn't supposed to have any of those side effects. And so I had the side effect, and then my period wasn't coming, like, for months. And I have always had a period every month since I started menstruating. You know, I never had a missed period. I always said, if I have a missed period, I'm pregnant because I'm like clockwork. And so, you know, the last 2 years, I went through this oh my goodness, my period isn't coming on time, and like it's gone, like where is it, to the point where I like doing so much work to bring it back, you know, like using the yoni egg, using a black obsidian, a yoni egg, to really like detox and get like stuff that I was holding in. You know, I had a breakup, a real, you know, that was really hard on me, and so I knew I was holding it in, and it was, you know, through my sisters really telling me, like, Regina, you really need to, like, let it go, really work from within, but, you know, sometimes it's really hard, you know, and so using the yoni egg, using vaginal pearls that Mama Moot made for me, and having them in for 3 days and actually getting my period after taking them out, you know, like, my period here, like, it was, like, straight up, like, my friends started getting these texts where I'm like, guess who's here? Like, super excited. I know they're like, what is wrong with her? Like, what is wrong with her? Like, why is she, like, really texting us right now? Talk about, good morning, ladies. Guess who's here? You know? And I know. And so on this call right now, they are like, yes. You know? Because I never realized how much I took for granted my period. And I'm still going through it right now. Like, I'm back on the no period right now. But I'll tell you this. I'm seeing an acupuncturist who's amazing, you know, and I'm literally feeling my body detox. You know, I'm going to be seeing her for the next 4 weeks. She put magnets in my ears, and I literally felt the energy that was stuck in my body, like literally. Mm-hmm. She put that needle on my foot where the liver point was, and I didn't know it was tender, and she pressed on it and said, is this tender? I'm like, kind of. And she put that needle, oh, my goodness. I was like, you know, and the next thing you know, I literally felt that current, the energy that was going back and forth between my left foot and my right shoulder. It kept on going up and down, and finally when she put that needle in, it literally went from the left foot all the way up my leg, all the way up my arm, up into my head, all, you know, all the way down to the right side, and literally feeling the current going. And so, like, that energy no longer sucked. Like, I know it's, like, it was going to come back. Like, I'm already starting to feel, you know, I'm feeling it. I'm starting to see the signs, mm-hmm. and I definitely look forward to my regular cycle. And, you know, Mama Moot and Kinyofu, they get the text from me, guess who's here? So don't know. It's a celebration.
But how,
see, we find joy in womb work.
Community.
You know, we find joy in talking about vagina care. It's an easy conversation. And a lot of people find much shame in it. But mm-hmm. when you are on this journey of healing and womb care, and which I learned as a priestess, comedic priestess, it's all about the womb. And it's just, you know, a natural conversation.
Mm-hmm. I remember mm-hmm. about... Oh, too many years to count. Probably like 30 years ago, I had taken a class with Barbara Feldman. And there's this woman, this older woman, who had women sitting in a circle. It wasn't a red tent, but she was teaching us about fertility and awareness. And I was curious because I had heard that you can control your fertility without getting the chemical birth control or any mm-hmm. of the other technologies, and I wanted to know what this was. It was, and she was teaching more than the temperature, the basal body temperature. Mm-hmm. And what mm-hmm. she was teaching was to put your finger in your vagina, reach and feel the tip of your cervix, and your finger will come out with some fluid on it that might be thick or not, and that mm-hmm. will determine your fertility or non fertility for that time of the month. That was totally amazing to me. This was before I ever mm-hmm. ever considered being a childbirth educator or a doula or anything like that. I just was very interested in what about my body, about learning about my body. And I mm-hmm. experimented with that, and I learned it was just amazing to touch my cervix. It was even more amazing, let's say 3 years ago, I think, when I actually saw my cervix.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I mm-hmm. saw my cervix with the support of Carol Downer, who was one of the founders of the self-help movement in terms from the health perspective, from the physical health perspective. And she had women sit around her, and she told them how they can look at their cervix. So how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
pants down, skirt up, speculum, plastic speculum in your hand, mirror, olive oil, insert, open up the speculum. The mirror allows you to see. When I saw mine, I, for me, it felt like it was, I was looking at the moon, and it was so beautiful. And I gasped. I almost cried. It was so beautiful. That is what that portal is that I shared before. When you know you can do something, or when you learn something about your body, you want more, and it's very exciting and enlightening because you especially if you haven't been given that information.
I remember meeting my cervix in midwifery school too. It was like, what? Like, I know I felt it, but to actually see it, it looks like a, to me, like a donut. Like a donut shape, small little donut, but the little hole. It's, yeah, it's pretty amazing. It really is. But also, and then really,
from
like,
moon
really
to donut.
I like the moon, though.
Well, the donut, you know, I like to say it'd be a healthy donut, you know, not a deep fried donut or anything, but more like a gluten free, sugar free, yummy donut, because I know they exist.
Well, I know that women respond amazingly to the red tents that you all offer, the conversations that they realize they have the freedom to have. I can imagine that some women who don't know what to expect might be a little shocked initially. Tell me, you know, what has been the response?
I would like to start this conversation off. The response has been one of awakening that I've finally arrived at home, a place that they feel comfortable with, to just be themselves and to feel nurtured. And women open up so easy in the circle. You'd be surprised. I mean, women had never met before. They just like, oh, it feels so good. And they just open up and share, and they get really comfortable, and they don't want to leave. You know, they don't want, you know, I was like, okay, y'all can just take your time. But the space feels so good, like a womb, so you don't want to leave. I'm grateful. Even the after effects, they take away that feeling, and they call back and ask for resources to want to go deeper. Some have walked away and came back and asked for, where can I go to do a detox? Where can I see a specialist in this? Where can I, you know, when can I meet with you again? You know, to have some me time. So the response is endless of where women are finally feeling like, I feel supported. I feel nurtured. I feel at home.
When I do the tent, when I set up the tent, I feel like I'm giving birth, like I'm going through some kind of birth. I'm in the birth process, and when it's complete, I just have to sit in it and enjoy that space. And I allow the women to do the same thing. When they come in, I have them sit and be quiet. Don't say anything. Don't feel like you need to say anything. And I ask, how does it feel to you? What are you experiencing? And each of them come up with, oh, this is feeling so nurturing. I feel comforted. I feel loved. I feel welcome. And it's the same feeling that I have. And it's so real to me that when it comes time to take down the tent, I'm very slow with it. Like, I don't want to. I'm like, I'm still holding on to it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's definitely to build it. It's like so much energy, and we're just so excited to see it. And then when it's time to take it down, we're just like really sad and like definitely slower at doing it. Yeah, for sure. And there's just something about it. Like, you go in there, and it's just like, it's so what's the word, ladies? Help me out. Like, it's just.
You turn into the womb.
Yeah. It really kind of turns into, like, you know, your womb, where you just go in there and you just lay down on the pillows, and, you know, we have music sometimes, and, you know, we burn sage, and it's just an incredible space.
You have everything you need inside, and it's just like, you know, you shut off from the world, and you feel protected, you feel safe, and, you know, you just want to stay in here. So why do I have to leave?
Well, I'm glad you started talking about that, because I want to know, what might a woman expect experiencing the red tent? You've shared some things. I know that it's a comfortable, womb-like, warm, safe space. There might be music. What else happens? Because I've been in sweat lodges, and that's the closest to a womb-like experience I've had, but that's different. I'd like to know about that womb created by the red tent.
Well, you get a chance to interact with, and you get a chance to be at one with yourself first, connect with yourself and your surroundings and the elements. And ground yourself and feel that for yourself. And then you get a chance to voice what you feel, if you want to share it or not. And then we'll have different exercises sometimes, and it varies, depends on what we create together. And you get a chance to have conversations that you wasn't expected to have, but you wind up participating because everybody else is participating and telling your story. So you're like, amen to it. So it just goes from one level of love to the next.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we'll kind of have a little bit of a soft structure, but it all depends on the needs of the women in the group. Like, we may go in with, okay, like, this red tent, we're going to, you know, the first 10 minutes we're going to sit and be with breath and just, you know, meditate and then just really ground ourselves and be prepared for the red tent. And then, you know, the next thing after we do that, you know, we'll probably clear the space. With either sage or some incense, clear the space, and then we'll have them, you know, we'll say, well, you know, we're going to learn about the parts. We're going to learn about the actual reproductive parts and, like, have handouts where women are going to color and they are going to know the names of their parts. And we'll have that plan, but next, you know, it'd be something, we have it planned, but someone else, the women have other needs. And so we just put that aside and we talk. We deal with what's brought to us, and that's okay.
Yeah, and you know, each group has its own energy, just like everybody has their own personality. Groups have their own personality as a collective of women that's in it. So sometimes there's like a slew of questions, and so many questions, and so many going in so many different directions that we have to reel the women in and direct them to the next tent, or to follow up at, with email with further information. And sometimes there's no questions. And then that would require us to ask the questions to get the answers. Or other times it's like tears. You know, women are experiencing some deep, deep stuff, and it comes out. Mm-hmm. And we're there, hands on, you know, heart open. Mm-hmm. And it's so many different elements. Maybe Moot and Regina can remember other circumstances, other personalities of groups.
And sometimes we have fun together and play and color together and interact with different topics that we may create. And it depends. It depends on what we plan and what happens once we go in. But nothing's excluded. We talk about everything from vagina care to self-care with, you know, quality time, with whatever comes up. You know, we make note of that. And if we don't address it in that red tent, we make sure that we add that to the list of things to do for the next red tent. But every woman's needs is met.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, intimate partner relationships and everything. Sorry.
So,
and also,
you know,
we also talk about parenting.
Yeah.
That comes up because it's a part of our experience. So, you know, the parenting relationship. And the, we've had a conversation with women talking about a career path or a job situation.
And the beautiful thing about it, we all are different generations. Like, I'm the grandmother, Kenyofa's the mom, and Regina comes from the younger generation. So with the group seeing us being able to offer this service together, it helps them to feel comfortable. If they need a mothering, a grandma advice, they get it from me. If they need a mothering advice, they get it from Kenyofo. If they need first-hand experience, why are you here advice, they get it from Regina. And if it's vice versa, it creates a good floor of umbrella of support for all women at any stage.
Mm-hmm. And we're also our stages are also relative to where we are in our menstrual life. So Regina's looking to have children. I've had my children. I'm at that urge of not knowing what the heck my cycle is doing. And mood has moved on from that.
Yes, moved on to that long time ago. Now, the beautiful thing about it, my testimony is that when I had my cycle, the last 10 years, I was going through my rites of passage and learning about self-care in a holistic way through the comedic lifestyle, and I had a beautiful experience. I could share all of the bag of tools that I learned in this circle and with the women that I meet. From hands-on experience, I really enjoyed my cycle every month for 10 years, and even to the point that when I no longer had my cycle, I didn't go through the changes that a lot of women experience, the hot flashes, the discomfort that women go through, because I had already learned so much about my body and the need for self-care before my cycle came, and the need for having a discipline to eliminate the sugar. So I was able to have a different testimony than a lot of elders that I know.
I think also what I want to touch on too is that, like, you know, we have the different we're all at different stages in our lives. And I tend to have, like, my circle, my sister's circle, I have friends that have had children already. They started a long time ago, or they're just starting now. And so the ones that have started a long time ago, their daughters are approaching, 9 and 10 years old. And so now I'm, really trying to organize these pink tents, which is, similar to a red tent, but it's really talking to the young ladies about their period and what they're, what it's about. But in a more, like, really having, like, a rites of passage. And just, it's just a different perspective, I do wish I had a better perspective when I started having my cycle. But I'm glad that, knowing what I know now, and that any little girls that are in my life, and I definitely, plan to, like, be there and guide them, and just, really help them tap into their power, into their womb power, and also really for them to, to have self-care, like, really taking self-care, and it's okay. And, I remember one of my friends, her friend, she talked about being, like, I have this thing about, like, I don't want to be selfish. Like, I think it's so, like, it's so bad to be selfish. Like, I don't want anyone to see me as being selfish, because I want to be give. And one time they said, it's not about being selfish, Gina. It's about self-preservation. And so after that, I'm like, oh. Like, it was, like, my that moment of, like, okay, I really, it's okay. Like, there's like a negative connotation of behind being selfish, and it really shouldn't. It's just really, really preserving yourself, And so just, I'm looking forward to, like, really working with these young ladies who are about to embark on that, starting their cycles, and just hoping to, just work with them and really having them really start to participate in red tents. And that they'll create them on their own, and they'll take these red tents with them, when they're in college, on the college campuses, and it's just, it's a beautiful thing.
Most
yes, we
definitely.
Want to create
that's beautiful.
We want to create the support where young girls are feeling celebrated during their first experience of womanhood, and not, left out in the dark like a lot of us did, and not having the information we needed for self-care.
Right. Oh, that's amazing. Uh-huh. I love it. The pink tent. Oh, that's going to be amazing. And I believe that will truly take off.
Yeah, I've had
so
I've heard from.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to say that I've heard women ask about how do I have this conversation with my young girl, and there's an aspect of the tent that when women learn about how their body works, they're learning about what the words are to use to create that conversation. And the red tent, the pink tent, is a place for the girls to hear it also. So it's it becomes a reinforcement.
Beautiful. So just to let our listeners who are tuning in a little late know, we have the Trinity Womb Keepers on. We have Kinyofu, Mama Moot, and Regina. And they are talking about healing from the red tent, these amazing sacred spaces that they create for women. And so I would love to hear, you know, of course, without identifying information, but some breakthroughs that women have had taking place, to take place in the red tent.
I would say just to, for starters, the breakthrough that I have heard is that women feel comfortable in taking out that time that they need for their personal self-care. Before, a lot of women had come into the red tent and felt depleted of their energy because they're giving and serving everybody else. And when they heard a lot of conversations about self-care and taking that time out, especially around your moon time, take a day off from work the first day or the second day, what you need it. Zoom in on yourself and see what you need and give yourself that and don't feel guilty. Order your life, your prayer work, what you need, and then everybody else, and watch the miracle happen. And when women start practicing that, they're like, wow, everything do get taken care of. I don't have to sacrifice myself and to make sure it happened. I don't have to be in control of that. I can pull back and let things go and take care of me and ask for support in the household to do that. So that was a big one for a lot of women.
In the book, Anita, in Anita Diamant's book, The Red Tent, the women gathered in their tents every month, and only the nursing children were allowed in there with them. So, but they ate, and the older children got taken care of. How did that happen? It happened because the men folks, they knew that was their role during the time that their women were in the tent. So that's something that with Moot saying, women learn how to know, to feel comfortable that things can still happen even though they're taking care of themselves. There's that incorporation of the family, the folks in the family.
And I just want to add to that, you know, a lot of cultures still do that today. They have places where women they hire people to take care of the family when the women are on their cycles or women after birth. And we are just having to spread the word to our sisters, the need for speaking up and using your voice and asking that, you know, don't have to be strong all the time. And if you're not feeling well during your moon time, take that time off and go within and allow the family to support you in doing that.
And don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Love up on yourself. So some of the other breakthroughs is just recognizing that there is support and there's information and that there's something you didn't have before. So some of the women are like, wow, I didn't have to do that, or if I had known this, then that would have been different. That's a opener. There's also the acknowledgement that it was like, oh, you too? You experienced the same thing? Wow, that connection. Because if we don't speak about something, we don't know there's a connection, and we think we're the only one. If you're thinking the only one, then you're feeling really bad, really alone, really isolated, and that's not good at all.
And also just the freedom of talking about your bodies without any shame. You know, like I said, when we talk about things, we talk about it in a raw. we talk about it from a personal experience. Like Regina talked about the yoni eggs. Yoni eggs is extremely healing for emotional healing. Like whatever your emotions is, it's a yoni egg that you can use to help you ground yourself and feel empowered in what you want to do. So the whole awareness of this, the list of tools that we can share in the red tent, is such amazement to a lot of women. They're like, I didn't know that. I didn't know I could take some wheatgrass pulp and stick it in my vagina, and it would pull out all of that stuff, and I could feel so clean. You know, so just the open conversation is like a big piece for a lot of women.
Wow. Amazing. So, you know, Kinyofu, I believe you spoke to how women are learning to ask for help and calling on the men to take care of the family while they are having their monthly cycle. Mm-hmm. And so do you all get men who say, all this red tent, this woman stuff, what about me?
Yeah, I've had that. I don't hear them as in feeling left out. I hear them as, oh, this is great. I really appreciate that you're doing this with the women. What would you say to me? I've had a man directly ask me that. And then I've also asked a man if he would be interested in inviting his men friends, because he has a men group. He said, sure. So that there was this definitely interest. And we rely on all men. We respect them, and we really want them to be by our side. And sometimes the conversation is difficult, but that again goes back to the disruption of family life and the disruption of us being grounded in ourselves as women. Men have also been disrupted in their groundedness and as being men. But we internally, we know, intuitively, we know that we need each other. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big space of healing and open for learning.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say some breakthroughs that women have experienced is that making the connection with the womb and the heart and also the womb and mental health. I, for one, am one of those, you know, really understanding, learning about how we store so much in our womb, disappointment, heartache, everything, and trauma. A lot, you know, women tend to hold a lot of trauma, whether it's, you know, sexual abuse, to name a few, just sexual abuse, rape, child molestation. Those are all things that women will store. And if the women don't address those issues, they just hold them in the womb and hold it in the womb and hold it in the womb and hold it in the womb through, you know, throughout the years. And that's where we get the fibroids, you get the polycystic ovarian cysts, you get the whole infertility issues. And then you end up getting women having these major abdominal surgeries to remove these massive, massive fibroids that are like the size of babies, and that then now compromises the uterus. So when they do have pregnancies, they're going to end up with C-sections because the uterine wall is so thin. You know what I mean? And so it's, you know, that stinks. You know, but it's good that we get some of them, you know, some of the women earlier where they're like, oh really? And then they really start to like go and see an acupuncturist, go and see an herbalist, and really like focusing on their diet to see if they could get those uterine fibroids to shrink. And it happens all the time. Like they really like the you know, the uterine wall, like they restore their health, you know. And also just realizing whether it's like trauma, anxiety, and depression, and really, you know, like for me, that's one of like my breakthroughs, is like the connection between my womb and my mental health. You know, I'm someone who has personally have gone through anxiety and depression for over 20 years, and going, you know, the Western way, which I'm still grateful for, but really going to the root of the problem, you know what I mean? Really
looking at other therapies that really go to the root. And for me, like, you know, writing, like that's a new muscle that I'm developing because I have such a fear of writing. And it's really interesting because me not writing is me not telling my story, and I need to tell my story, you know? And so, you know, and so these are like, you know, my personal breakthroughs, but I know that these are some breakthroughs from the women that, that come into our circle that they're like, oh, wow, you know, and feeling so much better the next month and, you know, texting us and telling us, you know, I'm sleeping so much better. I wasn't sleeping before, you know, where we get them starting to do like new moon ritual practices, full moon ritual practices, you know what I mean? Where they're just really taking time for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Beautiful.
It's some pretty dope stuff. I like to say.
Yes, yes, most definitely. I am really excited about these Red Tent events that you all offer. So when are you next offering one?
Well, we have our next live Red Tent. It's on Monday at, Sunday, May 7th. And it's going to be, I'm getting a text. We are doing this tent in conjunction with Spirit of a Woman, and that's organized by Shawnee Benton Gibson, and she just texted me. So our flyers say John Wesley. It seems to be a discrepancy. It might be at Bailey's Cafe, so I apologize for that. We might need to we're definitely going to have to keep you posted on what the actual deal is. But Sunday, May 7th, there's three sessions in that one day. And the sessions women can choose from. So it's 12 to 1, 1:15 to 2:15, 2:30 to 3:30. And it will be in Brooklyn. This information is on our Facebook page. We have a virtual tent that actually comes before the live tent. The virtual tent is a call-in and by phone. That's Wednesday, April 26th. And we have another one on May 25th. These both take place at 7 o'clock. And you don't need to leave your home.
Mm-hmm. All right,
and
now.
And I don't know if I continue, but I do want to share about the conference that we are leading up to.
Oh, sure.
Okay. So Motherwit Conference is another aspect of Spirit of a Woman, and this is their fourth annual Motherwit Conference. It is, again, in Brooklyn, June 3rd. Is a full day event. The red tent is going to be within the conference, but the conference is going to be more than a red tent. The conference is going to have individual sharings, workshops, and presentations. There's also going to be a womb museum. And the title of the conference, this is what you will love this, Tanya, particularly because you're questioning about men. This is Partners in Healing, Men and Women Transforming the Language of Grief, Loss, Love, and Liberation Together. So in this conference, men are welcome. Men are presenters. Men are very present. And there is an early bird discount going on right now. So I think you have the link, and you'll be on your Facebook page, Tanya. So
yes,
I will be
putting it on the it's in the group, I believe, or the event, perhaps, but I am going to put it on the Mind, Body, and Soul Food page for folks to be able to connect to.
Okay. So our live tent is $30. Our virtual tent is $20. And the Motherwit Conference is $55. The early bird discount is $45, and that's up until April 15th.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
If I could add a little thing of some more about men, because I feel like that's really important. men benefit from a woman being in the tent because she becomes more sure of herself and the decision-making, her decision-making becomes more focused, which helps him, you know, in their relationship. Her heart is more open and she's happier. If she's happier, everyone else is happier. And and she's also more at peace because she can include him in her, she feels more confident to be able to include him in her personal life. And in doing that, she's reducing the stress in her life, where stress we know is connected to fibroids. And women, if a woman is able to share what's on her heart, what's on her mind, what's in her womb, then without shame, then that this will be it's a better space for her, a better healing space for her. And she'll feel 100% supported. So the man can know how that he's holding space for her to be very well supported. And when we have the tent, he's like, he would know she goes to the tent, she's going to come back happy. She's happy, I'm happy. You got the story, right?
I mean, that's where the whole happy wife, happy life comes, right?
Right.
That frame, like with, if the mom is happy, then the rest of the family is going to be happy. Mom is taken care of, then everyone else is going to be taken care of.
Yeah, this helps a lot of women because, you know, women have conversations around the wound, their cycle and their menstrual time. It's been a very cranky time, a very reason to be very in a mean, a bad space. And once they come into the red tent and learn about self-care, self-love, and that time to go within and give yourself lots of the sweetness, it helps the whole environment of the family to tune into her in a positive way.
That makes all the sense in the world. Wonderful. Well, you know, ladies, I can't have a show without talking about food because, you know, that's just who I am and how I do. And we talk a lot about food for the soul, food for the mind. And, you know, I actually want to talk about some food for the body as well. Mm-hmm. And so when you have these red tent events, you know, tell me about the food, please. Do you feed the women physically?
Yes. I'll start with that. I'm totally in agreement and so grateful that I learned that everything that you do is a sacred act. And one of the things that I coach about with women is that 2 weeks before your moon time, you have to eliminate a lot of the foods that's causing you discomfort. So of course, in around the red tent, we have my specialty, my apple and ginger. We have soups. We have live foods. We have healing foods, homemade foods, where the sisters feel nurtured and fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing but best quality foods in the red tent.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because as doulas and midwives, anything that like doulas and midwives usually, whenever they get together, there has to be good food. Like that's like part of the requirement. You know, like the food has to be yummy. And so, you know, a lot of we'll provide the food. Like I love to bake and I like to cook. And so I like looking for like really good recipes that are very hearty. And very comforting, but hearty and comforting in a good, healthy way, you know? So, like, soups.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dish that I like, which is, like, a sweet potato curry chickpea dish, and it's amazing. It's vegan, and it's delicious. And I have these muffins that I love that I kind of tweaked. It's like a banana oatmeal gluten-free, sugar-free muffin, and it's delicious. Like, when you eat it, you're like, this is gluten-free? This is no sugar? You know what I mean? Because it really is. You know, it's using yogurt, and it's using, you know, I use chia seeds because I'm allergic to some nuts, and I want, like, that nutty flavor, nutty taste, and these muffins are out of this world, and so they're very popular. And so we to bring that in, and fruits, staying hydrated, and then also, like, having the women share, like, recipes with us,
because you want them to feel like, you know, you're a part of this process, because you are.
Wonderful. I do a lot of gluten-free, sugar-free, vegan cooking myself. And, you know, I love having people respond with surprise that, oh, this is good. Yeah. Unfortunately, we have had, oh, my gosh, just centuries of our people eating in ways that have not contributed to our health. And
yes.
So I love that we are reclaiming our health back, our womb health, our whole health.
Yes.
And so thank you all for making sure that you're feeding their mind, body, and soul with the foods that you offer, with all the information that you provide, for holding the space, for being models of openness and joy around your journey as a woman. It's absolutely delicious to me. And I want to go to your red tent. So, you know, and I want to have the actual.
We look forward to having you.
I want to have the real, I'm not going to say it's not real. I want to be in person and be in that womb-like place. So I'm looking forward to you all having a D.C. area red tent.
Of course.
I'm putting it out there right now.
Sometimes
now that Kyonyofu is in D.C.
Yeah, yes. Travel.
Tanya, does that sound, like an invitation to me? You know, we do pop-up red tents. We
pop up
where you are.
We pop up.
I love
so,
it.
Yes, so find a space.
Pop-up red tent.
Well, it is what it is. So if you're interested in being a host for the red tent, you will find the space, and we will speak on a date and a time, and together we will promote it, and we will be there. We'll build the tent with cloth fabrics that either are yours that you choose to have as a part of it, or we will get, you know, we will bring out. Is it, you know, depends on what makes the most sense. So if we're traveling across the world, I don't think I'm, you know, we'd want to pull our fabrics out of our storage, but definitely you can be able to gather fabrics from your supplier, your community.
We'll have to definitely talk about that.
Yes.
Wonderful. All right. Well, how can folks contact you all to find out more information on how to dine at your healing table?
Okay, we're on Facebook. We have facebook.com/ Trinity Womb Keepers. And Trinity Womb Keepers is spelled TRINITYWOMBKEEPERS. So you can type that into your URL, or you can, like the facebook.com/ Trinity Womb Keepers, you type the whole thing. Or you can go into Facebook search and type in two words, Trinity Space Womb Keepers. And we have, our email is redtentpopups@gmail.com. Redtentpopups, redtentpopups@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Oh, I'm looking forward to this. See, you've started something now.
Love it.
I was talking, and I'm like, how come they don't hear me? Because I put myself on mute because I don't want the background noise. Yeah, I muted myself, and I'm like trying to talk, and I'm like, wait. You asked a question about the men in the red tent, and like their role, and one of their roles that we have, like, is when we have, like, for example, when we have the Mother Wit conference, when we're in a really big space and we have a lot to work with and we're, you know, making a really big red tent, that's when we want our men to come and help us build these tents. And we're very, very grateful for that.
Yes. Yeah. Like, covering.
Yeah.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was part of the 1,000 Goddesses gathering last year in D.C., and so the men were invited to basically help us with building the structure, setting up, but also to be what we call our sacred guardians. And so it was nice having that energy there, you know, to balance the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful to be able to honor them in that way. Wow. Well, ladies, I have truly been delighted by hearing these Red Tent conversations and the healing that takes place from the Red Tent. I am so excited for about this work that you do, and you know, having some pop ups in the DC metro area. So I want to let listeners know to make sure to go to the Mind, Body, and Soul Food with Tanya Parker Facebook page, and I have posted the flyer for the Motherwit Conference, where the Trinity Womb Keepers will be hosting several Red Tents throughout the course of that. And so you can also find more contact information for them on the Blog Talk page. So make sure you tune in and check them out and see how you might be able to engage in wonderful healing from the Red Tent. So I'd like to also invite our listeners to tune in again next month on the second Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for more Mind, Body, and Soul Food. So our guest next month is an annual favorite, Jamila White, who will bring forth a smorgasbord of deliciousness, including accessing our angels, ancestors, and spirit guides. She'll be providing her amazing readings, and as a new resident of New Orleans, you know we will talk food in Tanya's Conscious Kitchen. So also you can contact me, Tanya Parker, at Tanya, T-O-N-Y-A, at mindbodyandspiritworks.com for more information about my holistic healing, teaching, and writing services, about my young adult novel, Diary of a Witch's Daughter, which is available on Amazon in print, Kindle, and audio format. And you can also connect with me on Facebook as Throat Chakra Shaman. You can like the Mind, Body, and Soul Food page. You can like the Tanya D. Parker page. You can sample my meditation CD. All sorts of wonderful things there. So this evening we have been truly sustained by the Trinity Womb Keepers, who've talked about healing from the Red Tent, wonderful healing for women of all ages and stages. For leftovers, I will leave you with some Mind, Body, and Soul Food to go from Aung San Suu Kyi. And she says, the education and empowerment of women throughout the world cannot fail to result in a more caring, tolerant, just, and peaceful life for all. So I am definitely at this time and what's happening in the world praying for caring, tolerance, justice, and peace all around the world and within my heart until we next dine at the Mind, Body, and Soul Food table. One, two, here I go.
Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head.
Hey, that was deep. Hello?